open your heart, receive the word of God.
Praise your name, Lord. Good evening. Good to see everybody. The family of God assembled together once again. I was glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. What an appropriate name for our church. Yes. House of the Lord. Well, we're blessed. Amen. We're victorious. Amen. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's a good opportunity for you to say amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
God is good. Jesus is Lord. And you are loved. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we're going to pick up, continue talking about your portion. And we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, verse 13. We'll start there and then go from there. But the important thing to understand tonight, if you don't get anything else, is that God has a portion for you. God has given you a portion that's specific to you and for you. There's a specific purpose that God has for you. There's a specific calling. You are unique. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there are certain things that God has apportioned for you, things for you to accomplish, things for you to do. And before you leave this earth, you want to be able to say, I ran my course. I finished all that God has given me to do. I did my portion. And so it's important that we are content with our portion. The word content means to be happy, means to be satisfied. Are you satisfied with your portion? Or do you look at other people's portion and say, well, I like their portion better than my portion. I like what they have better than what I have. I know in our house, we're training our daughters, 4 years old and 6 years old, that they're their own person, right? Because what happens sometimes in our house, one will see the other get something or have something, and they, what about me? Well, you gave this to so-and-so, and I didn't get it, or the cup she got is different from the cup I got. She got pizza. She got chicken nuggets. Pretty much it at that age. Pizza, nuggets, which one are we going to do tonight? But comparing is not good. Comparing yourself to someone else is not good. Measuring what you have and what God has given you by what God has given someone else is not good. We don't want to get in the comparison game, because when you start comparing yourself to other people and what they have, that's when insecurity starts to set in. Well, everybody's doing it this way. Everybody's ministering this way. Every church is doing it this way. People in this industry or this field, they do it this way. I'm not like that. I don't have that. And so you start to feel insecure about who you are and what you have or feel like you don't have. But God, what God has given you is perfect for you. It is your portion, and it works for you. And what happens when you try to bring something into your life outside of the portion that God has given you, it causes problems. Because you weren't designed, you weren't created to handle anything other than what God apportioned for you. And so I can be happy within the realm God has given me. Wherever he's given me for my feet to trod, I can be happy, I can be content with what God told me to do, with what God called me to do. And if you will major in what God has called you to do, you will find fulfillment and satisfaction every time. Amen. If you will major in what God has called you to do, what God has told you to do, what God has gifted you to do, you will find satisfaction every single time. Here. Jesus said, my food, my satisfaction is to do the will of him who called me. Yeah. My food is to do the will of him who called me. Now, what is food? Food provides nourishment. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel full. It makes you feel satisfied. My food is to accomplish the work God has given me to accomplish. So I always want to be asking myself the question, am I majoring in and focusing on what God has given me to accomplish? And if I'm not satisfied in life, sometimes I have to look and say, it feels like there's no food. It feels like I'm not satisfied. And you may find out that you've been focused on something else other than the portion that God has given you. So that's where we want to live. That's where we want to focus, on the portion God has given us, what God has called us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. So here Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He's talking about other ministers and ministries that are out there, people that the church of Corinth have come in contact with or who have ministered to them. And he says, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. Some translations say they are not wise. It is not wise to compare yourself to someone else. You don't want to worry about measuring up to someone else. You want to worry about being in the right place with Christ. He is always the measuring stick. You want to keep your eyes focused on him. Verse 13, but we will not boast beyond our measure. We'll not talk about, we'll not boast, we will not get prideful beyond our measure, our portion. In other words, we are happy with the measure that God has given me. I'm happy with the gifts and the talents that God has given me. I don't need John's gifts or talents. I don't need Pastor Richard's gifts or talents. I have what God has given me, and I'm satisfied with that. I'm happy with that. That is my food. That is my substance to walk in the gift that God has called me to walk in, and to be content with that, and not to be jealous when someone else is doing something else that everybody else seems to be excited about. You know, doesn't seem like people get that excited about my gift. I just do this little thing over here seemingly. Nothing is little if God has called you to do it. Nothing is small, nothing is insignificant in the kingdom of God. If God has called you to do it and place it inside of you, it means something. It is significant. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within. We want to stay within our measure, within our portion, but within the measure of the sphere. Again, we've talked a lot in this house about spheres of influence. Some of these are on the wall here: family, religion, business, government. These are spheres in the earth that we can impact and influence as the body of Christ. So he says, but within the measure of the sphere, what sphere has God called you to? Is it entertainment? Is it government? Is it family? Whatever sphere that God has called you to, focus on that. Boast in that, because God placed you there for a reason. Which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. Sometimes your portion will take you to certain people, will take you to certain areas. Sometimes it will extend out and reach far, and sometimes it may not. Again, if you can get in your spirit what it is that God has called you to do, what God has told you to do, it doesn't matter if it reaches into another country or if it reaches to the next door neighbor. He says, to reach even as far as you. What reach has God given you? How far has God allowed you to reach? Whatever that length is, be happy with it. Be satisfied with it. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you. For we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ, not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in another man's labors, Don't worry about what other people are doing, how they're laboring. You worry about your labor. Not boasting in another man's labor, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be, what? Within our sphere, enlarged even more by you. So there is a specific assignment that God has given you. Are you fulfilling it? Are you content with it? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Listen to this, each according to his own ability. One of the reasons you shouldn't compare yourself to someone else is that everybody has their own ability, a grace that God has given you of what you can handle and what you cannot handle. One thing that John the Baptist said is, I am not him. He knew his realm. He knew his fear. And so it says he gave according to each one's ability, and then he went on his journey. What are you able to handle? What have you been graced to operate and function and flow in? You wanna stay there, you wanna live there, you wanna major in that thing that you are able to handle, that grace that God has given you. Esther chapter 2, verse 15. The last time we talked about this, one thing that we highlighted was that Esther only requested what the king's servant Haggai advised for her. She said, I only want what Haggai provides. She was willing to submit because she knew that Haggai had the king's ear, knew the king's heart. So she said, I only want what I need for this specific assignment. And so we want to have the same mindset. We want to be able to say, I only want in my life what God has apportioned for me. I don't want anything else in my life because anything else might be trouble. So when we're not jealous of what someone else has, we aren't tempted to pull into our lives what they have. Well, they got this, I'm going to get this. They bought this, I'm going to buy this. They started this ministry, I'm going to start this ministry. They started doing this in their call, I'm going to start doing this in my call. No, you do what you are able to do. You only want what the king advises for you. You only want what he who is in charge provides for you. And so there is a peace that is specific to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? The answer to that question is no. They are not all apostles. Are all prophets? No. Do all teach? Or are all teachers? No, we should all be able to teach at some level to someone as we mature in Christ. But Not all occupy the office of teacher in the church. All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? They have the capability to speak in tongues, but not all speak in tongues, and those who speak in tongues generally don't always flow in a word through tongues. All do not interpret, do they? The answer to the question is no. So you are not called to be everything to everybody. You are not called to be everything in the church. You are not God's great gift to the church. You have a piece, you have a portion that belongs to you. And so the question is, are you content with it? Are you happy with it? In John chapter 6, chapter 17, chapter 18, it's all over John. Jesus makes some statements. We're gonna look at them again. But Jesus was very clear on what his assignment was and who his people were. John chapter 17. In verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me. What is God giving you? Who is God giving you? These are men that you gave me, talking about his disciples, out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given them. They received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. There was a specific group that God gave Christ. What specific thing has God given you? Do you know what's yours? Do you know what belongs to you? Not everybody in your class or in your congregation or potential clients for a business belong to you. You want the ones whom God has given you, the ones God has brought to you. He says, not everybody in the world is yours. Not everything that comes across your path belongs to you. Not every opportunity is yours. Not every person that you see, and Brother Damon mentioned this on Sunday, not every person that you see that you come across are you supposed to say something to. Because everybody is not yours, but the ones whom God has called you to. The one who God says, that one right there, go share. Go say something. Go minister. Go pray. Go do whatever it is that God has put in your heart. Not everybody you come across belongs to you. Not everybody in your class, in your congregation, is hooked up with the vision that God has put on the inside of you. They may be around you, but they may not be yours. Don't worry about them. Don't get worked up about it. Just know that you have a particular group. You have particular opportunities that belong directly to you. For they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me, all that who gives me? Father. All that the Father gives me, not all those I go get myself. All that the Father gives me will come to me. If they're called to be in your sphere, they'll be there. If they're supposed to be a business partner, they'll be a business partner. If they're supposed to be in your church, they'll be in your church. All that the Father gives to me, they will come. Don't worry about where resources are coming from. Where are people coming from that are going to help you, that are going to assist? If they belong to you and they're supposed to be hooked up with you, they will come. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. He says, when God brings you that person, when God brings you that opportunity, when God brings you that husband, when God brings you that wife, don't cast them out. Be able to hear here, no, that's the one that God has for me. That's the opportunity that God has for me. If that man comes, your husband, please don't cast him out. Be listening here. Lord, is that the one? If that woman comes, who God has brought to you as a wife, not the one you chose, not the one you picked because of how she looked, but the one, he says, all that you bring me, all that you call me to, I will receive them and I won't cast them out. But the ones you have not brought me, the people, the opportunities that are not of you, Lord, help me to discern what's of you and what's not of you. Because everything that looks good, whether it be an opportunity or a person, he's so fine. Is not necessarily yours and does not necessarily belong to you. We're going to get more into that in Genesis, but everything that looks good does not necessarily mean it's God. Every job opportunity is not yours. Lord, what job do you have for me? What job have you ordained for me? When I hear here in my spirit and know it's God, I receive it. I don't cast it out. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. I love this. That of all he has given me, I'm not concerned about losing it. Because if he gave it to me, I'm not going to lose it. I'm not concerned about people who walk away from me, who I thought were friends but really weren't friends, who I thought were business partners but really weren't business partners, who I thought were hooked up with the body but really weren't hooked up with the body. I'm not going to worry about opportunities, jobs that I thought I was going to get but I didn't end up getting. Why? Because if it's God, I'm not going to lose it. Of all he has given me, I lose nothing. So don't worry about missed opportunities. God has your back. God is going to bring you all that he has for you and all the people he has for you. You don't have to go outside of your portion or your sphere to bring something foreign into your life to satisfy you. You are complete in him. That I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. God has not called you to lose out. John chapter 10, verse 16. Again, Jesus knew who his people were. Do you know what your opportunities are? I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. There are people and opportunities out there that you haven't met yet. They've not come across your path. But you must bring those in too. There are people in play right now that God has put in place for that ministry he's called you to, for that business that he's called you to, and he will bring them in. He will bring the opportunities in. He will bring the provision in. There's provision sitting out there somewhere that you've not met yet, but you must bring it in. Jesus says, there are other sheep that are not of my fold, or that are of my fold, I haven't met yet, but I must bring them in as well. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, that I may lay down my life and take it up again. So Jesus knew what his sphere was, what his portion was. He was content with it. He was happy with it. That was his food. Now let's turn over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. So we said that Esther only requested what Haggai advised. I only want in my life the sphere that God has given me, the portion that God has for me. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. He says, freely you may eat. That should remind you of Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Hold your finger in Genesis, and then we're going to flip over to Romans 8 and 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him, what? Freely give us all things. Freely gives us all things. God wants us to freely receive all that he has for us. We're coming back to Genesis. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Here it is again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who was from God, so that we may know the things which have been what? Freely given to us by God. There are things that God has freely given us. He says, this is yours. This is your landscape. This is your sphere. This is your portion. This is what I have for you. And I have freely given it to you. No strings attached to it. Now going back to Genesis chapter 2. So the Lord commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you will surely die. So God walks his man. He walks Adam through the garden and says, this belongs to you. This is your realm. This is your portion. This all belongs to you. It's been freely given to you. This has not. This is your portion. This is not. So what ends up happening? Genesis chapter 2. Verse 18, God makes a helper that is what? Suitable for him? Suitable? What is suitable for you? What can you handle? Every man can't handle every woman. You want the one that's suitable for you. Every woman can't handle every man. You want the one that is suitable for you. You want your portion, and you want to wait on God's timing. So, chapter 3, Genesis, still. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. So she knew the realm. She knew her sphere. She knew her portion. But she's going to get caught up with what she sees. But from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it. Now, he never said anything about touching it. He said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in that day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Look at verse 6. This is when you become discontent with your sphere. You're not happy with the portion that God has given you. When you start looking. When the woman saw, when she saw that the tree was good for food, well, that's a good-looking opportunity. I could retire. I could do this. I could do that. This is a good-looking job opportunity. Look at all these benefits. They're going to pay me such and such. I've never had an opportunity like this, man. It looks so good on the outside. Boy, this man is so fine. He looks so good not to be true. Lord, this woman, look at this woman. I mean, just she has everything. So when you lead with what you see versus asking yourself the question, is this part of the sphere? Is this part of the portion? Then you bring something foreign into your life that's not for you. Well, Brian, why is it around me if it's not for me? Just because it's near you doesn't mean it belongs to you. Well, we go to the same church together. Just because he's near you or she's near you doesn't necessarily mean that she's part of your sphere, your portion. She may be, she may not be, but you can't lead with what you see. You can't lead with your looks. You have with how things look, you have to lead with what's in your spirit. You may come across a person or an opportunity that you weren't even thinking about, was nowhere near you, was in another state. But God brings it to you. So just because a situation looks good, just because an opportunity looks good, it has all the outside things that anyone would ever want, that's not the question that you lead with. You don't lead with the question of, does this opportunity look good? Does this thing look good? Does this ministry look good? You lead with, is this part of my sphere? Is this what God has called me to? Is this what God has brought into my life? Or am I stepping outside of the freely to bring in something foreign? Now, we all know the result of what happened. She took from its fruit and she ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves coverings. When you pull something in that's not your portion, Abraham pulled Lot in. In Genesis 12, God said, leave your country and leave your relatives. And repeatedly in chapter 12 and chapter 13, it says, Abraham and Lot, and Lot, and Lot. And eventually got to a point where they had to separate. God wanted him to willingly not take him, but it got to a point where he had to separate. He had no choice. He could no longer grow, because he had something with him that was not part of his sphere, that was not part of his portion. So it brings forth death in so many ways when you lead with, this looks like a good opportunity. But you don't have peace in your spirit about it. It may look as good as it wants to look. But if you don't have peace here, wait for the right season. Wait for the right time. Wait for the right deal. Wait for the person that's yours. Wait for the people that's yours. Well, it's taking so long. Well, let me tell you this. getting involved in the wrong opportunity, it's going to feel a lot worse. So take the time now to do it right. Focus on your portion that God has given you to handle, that he's given you to manage, the assignment that God has given you. And if you're focused on that, God knows how to get people to you. He knows how to get resources to you. You don't have to go outside of your portion, your sphere, your measure to get it. He can lead you there, and he can bring people to you so that you don't lose anything. Just be sure that when it comes, you listen here and not here, because if you're listening here, you may cast it away because it doesn't look like what you thought. Well, he kind of short. I wasn't expecting that. You're leading with your senses. Listen here. Is this part of the portion? Is this person part of the portion, the sphere that God has given me? And if they are, even if they're short, you will find yourself satisfied. You look 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, because it's bigger than just what your senses tell you. Satisfaction is in doing the will of God. That should be your food. Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 7. This is some wisdom here. And I just want to say up front, this verse doesn't confine you to poverty. It just confines you to God's best, which will always bring riches. Two things I ask of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Listen, he's gonna talk about what he wants. Give me neither poverty or riches. But what does he say? Feed me with the food that is my portion. Feed me with the food that is my portion. What did Jesus say his food was? To do the will of him who sent me. Feed me with the food that is my portion. Okay? If somebody else eating steak, good for them. I'm going to eat what I like to eat. I'm going to eat my portion. Just because someone is doing something else, simple 101 peer pressure lesson. Just because somebody at school, somebody in the neighborhood, somebody around you is doing something else doesn't mean you got to do it too. God has a plan for your life. Those other folks, they don't have a plan for your life. They have a plan for your destruction. But God has a plan for your life. He created you. He's the manufacturer. He knows how you operate. He knows what you need. That's going to satisfy you, even if you thought that it was going to come about in a certain way. The plan of God will stand, even though man devises a lot of plans in his heart. So he says, feed me only with the food that is my portion. I'm not concerned with poverty or riches. I don't lead with being rich, and I don't lead with being poor. That's not my goal. My goal is to do the will of him who sent me, of him who called me, of him who created me. That's the food I want. That's my portion. And if I will live there, that I not be full and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or that I will not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. There is wisdom in that. Feed me with that which is my portion. Lord, if it's not of you, I don't want it. I only want, Lord, what you have for me. I only want what you've ordained for me. And when you are operating and functioning in that, there will be satisfaction. There will be long-term satisfaction. There will be long-term fulfillment. It's one thing to be excited and happy. It's another thing to be satisfied on the inside. You can't live on dessert. But God has solid meals and solid food for you. So, Lord, I only want what you give me. I'm not going to lead with what I see. Oh, man, that house is so beautiful. And it might be beautiful. And it may be the house that God has for you. This house is so beautiful. It has this, it has this, it has this. But we don't lead with, like Eve did. She saw that the tree, she saw that the fruit was good. She got caught up in what she was seeing. This house looks so beautiful and it has this and this and this. That's great, but we don't lead. We don't lead with that. We lead with what God has freely given us. Lord, is this the house you have for me? Is this part of the freely? Is this part of the portion that you've given me? Not just how beautiful or wonderful something looks. That's a beautiful car. And this prevents us from coveting what our neighbor has. That's a beautiful car. But is it your car? I don't want a beautiful car. Caveat. I don't want a beautiful car. I want the car God has for me. And if I get the car God has for me, it'll be beautiful. I don't want a beautiful house. Caveat, okay? I want the house God has for me. But I know the house God has for me will be beautiful. The difference is what I'm leading with. Yes. I'm leading with what does God want for me? And if I take what he gives for me, what he has freely given to me through Christ, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be nice. God ain't going to bring you a husband. Don't worry. He ain't going to bring you a husband or wife that came from him that's junk. He's not. Okay? So don't, well, I'm scared to let the Lord choose. And he might, I don't know, man. He might do something. I got a piece of paper with my list. It can be this and this and this and this and this. Advice, wisdom. Throw your list away. unless your list came from God. Okay? Unless your list friend came from God. But if you made up your list about what your husband, what your wife going, throw away your list and listen in your spirit. Focus on what God has called you to, your portion. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get focused on what God has called you to do, and he will bring the right person in due season. He will bring you. He will get y'all past the cross. He will connect you. He'll connect you with the right opportunity. When you are being faithful in what is little, God will make you a ruler over much. Whether you're ruling in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, in ministry, in business, whatever, he will make you a ruler over much if you will focus not on what you see, but the portion God has given you. Lord, this is what you've given me to manage. This is my garden. This is my assignment. You said, okay, you walked me through the garden. You defined the boundaries of my ministry, of the ministry that you called me to. It's not really my ministry, but the ministry you've called me to. You've defined the vision. You defined the boundaries. I'm going to walk within the boundaries of what you've given me. This is my portion. I'm not going to be jealous about so-and-so over here. That's outside of my sphere. That's outside of my boundaries. I appreciate what they do and how they do it, but that's just not what you put in me. That's not my grace. That's my gift. My gift is this. This is the portion that you've given me. And when you think like that, when you function like that and just say, Lord, I love my portion that you've given me. This house that you've given me works for me. This woman that you've given me, this man you've given me, they work for me. Might not have been when I was, you know, a little boy, little girl, or a little girl is, you know, my dream. You know, but you know better, Lord. You know what I need. You know how you created me, and you know what helper is going to be what? What's the word the Bible uses? Suitable. Suitable for you. Is that person suitable for you? Is that opportunity suitable for you? Is that business suitable for you? Is that job suitable for you? Does it fit with the portion that God has given you? And when you can get to that point, you will find true satisfaction. You will find true soul food. That'll be food that you can eat where your soul will be revived, where your soul will be satisfied. So we continued on tonight. We started talking about your portion the last time I was up, and I just sensed that we weren't quite done with that. So I wanted to, I felt the Lord had, you know, would have me come and continue and finish sharing on that. But God is good. God has a plan for your life. Amen. Be excited, be happy about God's plan for your life. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
I wished he'd have been around and taught that to me about 40 years ago. That's wisdom. That is wisdom. A lot of wisdom in that. Thank you, Brother Brian. That's a good word. Very good word. We want to bless Brother Brian with a little green folding, or a lot of green folding, because he put it out there tonight. Stuff that that if you pay attention to and if you listen and take to heart, can save you much heartache. So we want to be a blessing to Brother Brian. You're not going to find that in a psychiatrist's couch. That'll keep you off the psychiatrist's couch. Good word. Good word. Good word. Well, stand with me. Father, we thank you for the word that we have heard. We thank you, Father, for the delivery of wisdom, for the broadcasting of your will, Father God, your plan and your purpose for each of our lives. We thank you, Father, that according to your word, let it be unto us. The things that we've heard, the things that we've seen, that we've read, Father God, let it be planted deep within our hearts, that it produces fruit in our lives, not just something that we see or that we heard, but it produces much fruit in our lives, so that our lives may be lived in peace, in joy, in prosperity, and according to your will, O Lord. Let it be done according to your word to us. Thank you, sir. We seal the word with the Holy Spirit, that the word will not be stolen from us. We will not turn it loose, but it is ours, and we benefit by it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Father. Well, I call you blessed. I say you are the taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. No weapon formed against you prospers, but you live in divine favor, divine blessings. God continually leads you into truth, triumph, and victory by his Holy Spirit. And everything that you put your hand to is prosperous and blessed because God leads you. And when you do those things, you are prosperous. You are blessed. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. Go with God. We'll see you on Sunday.